We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I'm a Trumpocrat.
Trumpocrat, that's right.
If I have the ability to vote, I'm going to vote for him.
You cannot make a brilliant speech where they say that was such an incredible, elegant speech if I'm talking about dishwashers, sinks, toilets, light bulbs.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon. Uncle Joe had a news con. He answered some questions this afternoon, rather historic. We might get to that as we get through the afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Mark Reardon Show as we get rocking and rolling here. And a lot to get to. Of course, you can always follow on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. You can listen live by downloading the radio.com app. You can even rewind up to 24 hours. We have a roundtable tomorrow. Should be a good one. Former House Speaker Tim Jones, Meg McBride, and Jane Duke are all here in the 2 o'clock hour. A couple things I want to mention before I get monologuing here this afternoon. There was, a lot of people miss this if you're not dialed into the inner workings, the bowels of Jefferson City, but some pretty passionate moments over the legislation regarding St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. State Senator Bob Onder is going to join me in a couple of minutes on that, also on the residency requirement. For those of you who, like me, are parents with kids in virtual schooling, there's a petition for Rockwood in particular, and Matt Skaggs, who is kind of heading that particular petition, is going to join me this afternoon. Oh, you know, we got a great story. I got to cover a couple things. We got a great story this afternoon from Tunnel to Towers. Great organization. Frank Siller came in many years ago with Gary Sinise when Gary was affiliated with Tunnel to Towers. I think Gary started his own foundation. And Tunnel to Towers, which Frank founded this, his brother died 9/11. They have just paid off the mortgage for St. Louis City Police Officer Tamaris Bohannon, who was shot dead last weekend. So that is outstanding, and Frank's going to join me a little later. I do want to start, though. You know, we talk about a lot of important things here. We try to have a little fun, too. We've talked about the coronavirus and, obviously, the economy, the stock market. We get into these issues of race. But this afternoon, I think I want to start by featuring a man from Nebraska who has made a plea with a local city council that I think is very important. And maybe this should be a movement, ladies and gentlemen. We have a lot of movements in this country right now. Will you come on board with this movement?
We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings.
Yes. He's talking about boneless chicken wings, because when you think through it, thank you, Dave, Ander Christensen, or I'm kind of calling him Anders Christian Anderson. I don't know. I kind of like that name better. He's 31 years old. He sees the problem here with boneless chicken wings, just the name boneless chicken wings. Fake news, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to Anders.
I propose that we as a city remove the I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless.
Yes.
I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. We need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash. We can take these steps and show the country that where we stand, and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long, and we know it because we feel it in our bones.
You know, hashtag chicken tenders matter, ladies and gentlemen. I like, Dave, what do you think there? Saucy Nugs. I think Saucy Nugs would fit here. You know, it might seem like Anders is joking here, but I think he brings a very important issue to the American people, which maybe has been under-discussed and debated throughout the course of time. Klein, does he not remind you? I'm guessing this is a bit of a inspired bit from the guys out in LA, don't you think?
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw this guy today. Yeah, just direct representation of those guys.
What are those guys called again? Remind me.
The Party Bros, Chad and JT.
Yeah, they're the Party Bros. Yeah, so Chad and JT, they go to the city council meetings out there in like Venice Beach, and they try to, you know, they put on their surf language, and it's very, very funny. Now, look, Anders brings a very important point here during the public comment section of that particular city council meeting in Nebraska, and I'm not so sure maybe we don't need to bring this eventually to the St. Louis City, the St. Louis County Council. St. Louis County Council, because we can write our letters and have some fun with that. On the topic of chicken, here's a nice segue. Last night, the Cardinals failed to close out their series with the Cincinnati Reds. Here's how it ended.
Akiyama at second is the winning run. 0-2 on Votto. From the stretch, the pitch. A swing and a line drive into right center. That's a base hit. Up with the ball, Tommy Edman. His throw coming to the plate too late. And the Reds win on a single by Joey Votto and salvage a game in the three-game series. The final tonight in Cincinnati, the Reds 4, the Cardinals 3.
Cardinals had their opportunities. Mr. Rooney's going to join me at 4:20 this afternoon. No game tonight. They're going to get back into action for the weekend. We have afternoon baseball on the holiday on Monday, too. But Joey Votto held a news conference afterwards. He was asked about the walk-off base hit, and he basically said, you know, he just wanted that game to be over.
You know, I in the back third of the game, I was yelling to my teammates, I don't want to hit anymore. I'm done. Go, somebody end it, you know. And I meant it. I didn't want another at bat. I had enough at bats for the day, not because I didn't get hits, because I wanted to go get some fried chicken. So,
who still has fried chicken at this time?
They don't pay me, so I'm not going to provide free advertising. But if I walk through the door and you see me, holler at my agent. You know, maybe I'll do some advertising.
I do like Joey Votto a lot. I've always liked him as a player and as a person, really. I just like the guy. I have appreciation for other teams' talent, and he's always been a guy that I've really kind of coveted on the Cardinals, but we've had some pretty good first basemen certainly in the past as well. But you know what? I think that we should support Joey Votto in his mission to find saucy nugs late at night in Cincinnati after he worked hard on the baseball field. Even though, as somebody pointed out, Saucy Nugs kind of sounds like a porno movie title, but that's okay. I like the title, and we're going to search them out. It's 2:12 at the Voice of St. Louis. Senator Bob Onder coming up next on KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
You know, the Kentucky Derby is this weekend, the first Saturday in September. It's always been the first Saturday in September, right? The Run for the Roses. Joe Arnold, who is one of our good friends down in Louisville, former WHAS radio and television host and reporter, is going to join us with a little preview. I haven't even handicapped the Derby. I got to look at this to place some bets this weekend. It's my understanding, too, maybe somebody can help me out with this. I was told that you can't, can you not place bets at Fairmount Park right now? That's not allowed? Isn't that a horse track? Maybe I'm spreading rumors, but I might have to go to Soje, and there's an OTB there. I think a good betting opportunity. I've looked at the field, but we'll talk to Joe. You know, one of the reasons, by the way, I should mention this, they were going to have fans at the Derby, limited, you know, seating, and I think it would have worked, and I think it would have worked exceptionally well. Here's the reason they didn't do it. Now, they're not going to say this is the main reason, but one of the big reasons, Joe will probably confirm this here at 3:30 this afternoon, is because they were worried about the protests that would perhaps be in place, and you might still see some, over Breonna Taylor. And the Breonna Taylor case in particular is one, now that I've taken a close look at it, and there's nothing, that case in particular. Now, look, the cop that shot outside the apartment, for those people who don't even know all the details, and I'm guessing most of you don't, shouldn't have shot just, you know, willy-nilly outside the apartment. He was fired. Maybe he should be charged with something. But Breonna Taylor's case in particular, more than any of these others, has nothing to do with race. I mean, zero to do with race. So I'm not sure why. I guess people latched onto that, the protesters did, because it's a terrible story of a woman who was shot inside her own apartment. But, you know, look, that's the boyfriend started shooting first. They didn't think it was police coming in, which is why I'm against the no-knock warrants. It was just a tragedy that didn't need to happen, but has nothing to do whatsoever with race, which is kind of confusing to me. All right, so I woke up this morning and I saw a bunch of Twitter activity from some of my friends in the legislature, including Senator Jamila Nasheed, who was tweeting to the wee hours of the morning, very angry about some of the things that my next guest, Senator Bob Onder, was trying to push through. Senator Onder with us this afternoon to talk about that and some of the other things that happened in the wee hours of the morning. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
I was told that by Senator Nasheed on Twitter, 18 hours later, I'm still on the Senate floor. This was earlier this morning. I'm still on the Senate floor working to protect St. Louis City Circuit Attorney against the Republican attacks. They are breaking laws while making laws. So basically, explain what you guys did last night. And also, there was a procedural move that was used here as well. Can you walk us through that?
Absolutely, Mark. Well, as you know, the background is that we have a crime epidemic, a murder epidemic in the city of St. Louis right now. There were 194 homicides in St. Louis City in 2019, which puts St. Louis in the top in the country, a number that we don't want to be at the top of. And we're on a pace to exceed that this year. And at the same time this is going on, fewer and fewer cases of homicide are being prosecuted. The circuit attorney declines 60% of the cases referred to her by the police. There are fewer dispositions of cases, fewer guilty pleas. And the cases that she does bring to trial, the conviction rate has gone down dramatically from her predecessor, Jennifer Joyce. So clearly, she's lost over 65 experienced prosecutors since she took office 4 years ago. Clearly, the circuit attorney's office needs help. So what we did yesterday was to pass a bill in the form of my amendment to allow the attorney general, if requested by the chief law enforcement officer of the city of St. Louis, the chief of police, to prosecute cases that the city attorney has taken a pass on in the case of murder, first and second degree murder. And I think this can go a long way to clear up the backlog of unprosecuted murder cases in the city of St. Louis and bring justice to the victims and the families and make our city safer.
So basically, if the chief of police, how would the process specifically work?
Yes.
The chief of police has to get involved, and then he alerts the attorney general to a particular case?
Yes, that's correct. And it would have to be a case that was over 90 days old that the circuit attorney had chosen not to prosecute. And then the chief of police could refer that case to the attorney general. That the chief would have already referred that case, of course, to the circuit attorney. But if she passed on it for 90 days, then the attorney general could get involved. And of course, this is not a new thing. The attorney general's office gets involved in capital murder cases all over the state. Of course, at the request of the local prosecutor. This would just allow the chief of police to request help in these cases.
You know, the case that comes to mind, I don't know if this was discussed during the course of the debate, but Xavier Yusonga, 7 years old, who was killed in the city, the guy who shot him has admitted, Malik Ross has admitted that he fired the weapon. He has not been prosecuted by the circuit attorney's office, citing a lack of evidence, even though there was a confession in the case. The feds got involved, prosecuting him on different charges, but that's one of the cases that sort of sticks out like a sore thumb. Was that one of the impetuses for this, Bob?
Yeah, I think that was one of them, but I think there are many. We believe that there are perhaps dozens of murder cases that could be brought to the attorney general. You know, and of course, the AG's office doesn't have all the inside details because, you know, again, the circuit attorney has these cases and is sitting on them. And the problem is that she had 59 very experienced prosecutors working for her when she took office. She has a 120% turnover rate. Only three prosecutors that were with her at the beginning of her term are now still with her. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch calculated that her office lost 470 prosecutor years worth of experience. I mean, you know, even 5 or 6 years of prosecutorial experience are very valuable. She lost 470 prosecutor years worth of experience. So clearly the circuit attorney's office needs help. And the brave men and women of the city police need to know that when they risk their lives and witnesses who come forward to testify against murderers need to know when they risk their lives that there is a good chance that the perpetrator will be brought to justice. That's just not the case right now in the city of St. Louis.
Look, Senator, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone more outraged about all these things than me, and I've been hammering the circuit attorney for a while now, and I think there's big problems. On the other hand, I think this is a fair question. She was just reelected. I mean, her mission statement, how she handles her office, has been pretty clear. She hasn't backed away from it. She talks about these progressive reforms, and she doesn't seem to be worried that she's not prosecuting some of these criminals. And she was overwhelmingly reelected. So didn't the electorate sort of have a say in this already?
Well, you know, primary elections, you know, are notoriously low turnout elections. Of course, you know, none of the Republicans in the city of St. Louis voted for her. You know, a little over half of the Democrats voting in that primary voted for her. But, you know, none of these the dozens of child victims of crime had a chance to vote in that primary. At a certain point, the state of Missouri does need to step in to preserve safety, because not only are the people of the city of St. Louis victims of the circuit attorney's inaction, but at the same time, this affects our whole state. The CEO of Centene cited crime as one of the reasons that he's thinking about moving that company's headquarters to North Carolina. This affects the whole region and the whole state. But most of all, we just have many, many, many innocent people in the city of St. Louis being murdered.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that.
We need to put an end to it.
So one of the other things, and I don't know if this is the same bill, I lose track. I don't, you know all the nuances of how you guys present legislation, nor do I ever really want to know everything about the sausage making. But was that particular amendment, was that? Yeah, exactly. Was that included? The other thing, and I think this is important, and there was a lot of support for this. I would certainly support it. It's also important to know that there's a sunset on this, but the residency requirement for public safety workers to live in the city of St. Louis has been changed, right? And that goes into effect immediately?
Yes, it does. And that was a different bill. And yes, the city of St. Louis Police Department is short 145 officers, and the mayor, the police chief, and of course, the unions representing the officers pleaded with the legislature to change the residency requirement so that police officers would be able to live where they chose. It is the only police department in the metro area that has this stringent residency requirement, and I think we really need to do something to get to allow the police chief to fill those unfilled positions, because heaven knows the crime situation in the city of St. Louis is such that we need to do that sooner rather than later.
And I'm right about that having a sunset, right? It's a 3 year extension.
For 3 years, police officers would not be required to live in the city of St. Louis. And those who were hired in those 3 years after the sunset would be, you know, kind of grandfathered in to not having to live within the city, but they have to live within a 1 hour response time of the city. So they would have to live in the metro area.
And this is also important, I think, for retaining officers, because it's not all new officers that might apply that live outside. But if there's an officer who has been with the department and might want to move for a variety of reasons, they can do that during this period. State Senator Bob Onder, I appreciate you coming on here, keeping us posted this afternoon, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Mark. Anytime. Have a good day.
2:30, we're going to talk about the there's a petition. There's probably more than one, but there's certainly a petition in Rockwood to get the kids back to school. We'll talk about that coming up here. Maybe some phone calls as well.
Oh, you've been waiting for football. They've been waiting for football. The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs return to KMOX September 10th.
Touchdown!
Hear all their games here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, how about the mayor of the city of St. Louis, Lyda Crewson, hiding out in an apartment because she doesn't want the protesters at her house? Now, she uses this excuse like, well, you know, I ran for office and I deserve this, but, you know, my neighbors don't. Well, look, nobody deserves it in private neighborhoods. This is not what peaceful protests are all about, being harassed. So if the mob actions are unacceptable to you, Mayor Crewson, I would say they should be unacceptable throughout the entire city. But you allow them, you coddle the protesters. You allow them to do whatever they want to do. You're afraid to criticize the protesters. You're afraid to criticize Kim Gardner because you don't want to set anyone off on the issue of race. And it's kind of embarrassing and shameful. And this adds to the long list, I think. I mean, this city, our city is just a complete disaster. Think about if we did have Cardinals games. This is the one maybe saving grace. How many lives have been saved? Now, I'm not joking about this. How many lives have been saved by not having Cardinals games or events downtown? These shootings are not happening. These assaults, these attacks, they're not happening only in North City. They're happening all over the city, including downtown on a regular basis. And the mayor's solution is to put up barriers. And she can get away with that because there's no one else downtown. Except for you, Dave Klein. Fred, you got to drive in. How are those barriers working for you, by the way? Those going okay? You haven't hit
thankfully,
any of them,
I haven't
have
noticed
you?
Them yet.
Well, aren't they right on Tucker?
Yeah, I think they are, but not as far down as where we are.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right, let's talk about schools here. And there's a website that I'm a part of, a group on Facebook, Concerned Parents of the Rockwood School District. I have, obviously, some neighbors in my neighborhood that are pretty active on what's going on with the schools in Rockwood. This applies, obviously, to other school districts because I think we're all very frustrated as parents with virtual learning right now. And there are some rumors out there about maybe some different plans with K through third graders. But Matt Skaggs is with me this afternoon from Wildwood. He's a corporate healthcare executive director. He heads the St. Louis Community Task Force, which is responsible for sort of creating this petition. Matt, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. Obviously, you're in the same situation that a lot of us are in here with a lot of these kids. What are you hoping? You know, I look at the board. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of good questions, for example, for Dr. Miles and other administrators. But are you making any progress at this point, do you feel?
Yeah, there's so many questions that are out there. We really started with trying to meet with the board and understand their direction and their challenges. Once they went to virtual learning, we found out that the health department and Sam Page kind of strong-armed them into the situation. So, you know, really the petition is us trying to get not just Rockwood, but get the whole St. Louis community involved to, you know, have the backs of our superintendents and try to get to the table and find solutions.
You know, the one thing that, and I don't even know how much I've talked about this on the air, but the one thing that sort of set me off, and I think it did other parents, and I think there's examples of this in other districts as well. So they have something at Rockwood that's called the Adventure Club. Are you familiar with the Adventure Club?
I am.
Yeah, so it's basically, the way I understand it, look, it's kind of before aftercare. So my daughter's 5 years old, and in theory, if there was school going on, she'd go to school, and then she would, if there was room, go to Adventure Club for a couple hours before coming home, then in the early evening, late afternoon. So when they go to all virtual, we get an email that says, hey, Adventure Club, jump on in. That's going to be full time. And they're loaded with kids in there, which basically is a confession from Rockwood and other school districts that this is not about safety for the teachers, for the kids. This is about staffing. It's simply about staffing. And that's kind of embarrassing. So they're keeping kids out of schools right now because they don't have all the answers. And because my guess is they don't have enough people to work in the schools. Do you see this differently?
Yeah, I mean, the information about the teachers and the staff being there, I think that was more about them having the hybrid models. A lot of the teachers that have been talking to us, you can't speak for all of them, of course. They want to get back. The virtual learning is not any easier for them as it is for the kids.
That's true.
So it's interesting how you have certain programs that are allowed to be together, no spread of the virus. And then when we talk about school, all of a sudden we're going to spread it all over the place because these kids are going to get infected, teachers are going to get infected, and it's just not the case.
Are you hopeful then? I mean, I mentioned there's been a couple of rumors. There's a feeling that maybe there's some flexibility that might be worked into the schedule for the younger kids. Are you hearing anything along those lines?
Right. So if we look at all the information that comes out, all of a sudden we went from having a bracket of 15 to 19-year-olds. That dropped to 10-year-olds to 19-year-olds, which includes college students going back being tested as they go into these dormitories, which made it interesting to figure out their move on that. Now we're hearing that maybe the younger children are going to be able to go back sooner than the middle schools and high schools. And a lot of that comes from, you know, our infection control doctors at Washington University pointing out how hard it is for those younger kids to be even to spread the virus if they even get the virus.
So, Matt, what are you asking people to do right now, parents to do?
We're asking if you want your kids back in school for them to sign the petition. The petition is really for us to get in front of the superintendents and get in front of the boards to be able to talk with them, find solutions. I'm in healthcare. I'm in business. We have to deal with seniors in their homes. We had to deal with this virus, and we're doing very well. The health system is doing well dealing with the virus. We're looking for the superintendents and the boards to come together. Let us get our healthcare professionals in there to talk with them, mental health, so they understand what's happening with our kids at home, our parents at home, some community leaders, so that we can find a solution to get the kids back in school compared to continuing to look at something that we call the pandemic that may be an endemic at this point. You know, it's something that's going to be around for a while, and we need to be able to deal with it so our kids can get back and learn. Yeah.
I agree. Matt Skaggs, thanks for coming on here this afternoon. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
242. You know, I haven't taken phone calls on the schooling situation, so let me do that here this afternoon. 436-7900. Phone lines open. Jump on in if you have your unique virtual schooling experiences. Is it going well? Is it not going well? Do you think that the schools are going to open up, at least for the younger kids, sooner rather than later?
St. Louis's traffic station, KMOX.
All right, welcome back. 248. Let's go to the phone lines here this afternoon on schooling, or what schooling has kind of turned into here. Steve, you're first up this afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. Go ahead. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark. Thanks very much. Hey, I love that discussion regarding the school board. Where is that petition that we can go on to sign? And is it all school districts in St. Louis County, or is it just Rockwood?
Yeah, I guess I should have made that clear with Mr. Skaggs. And the way that I found it was on the Rockwood School Facebook site. But I don't know. That's, I think, a private site. So you know what? We'll find out from Mr. Skaggs and see if we can get that answer here in just a couple of minutes. Amy, you're on KMOX.
Rockwood parent, and I just want to say that it's been a virtual mess for our kids. The technical issues are getting in the way of them learning, especially with the younger kids who are not used to being on computers all day. And the teachers are being fabulous, but it's just not something that they can really take care of because the computers aren't working the right way and there's just an overload on the system. My middle schoolers and high schoolers are able to handle it better, but everyone wants to be back in school with their friends. And, you know, I think we should give people a choice. Let them go to school or make it a virtual option available. Give both people the choice to go where they want to go.
You know, I do feel, and I've tried to make this clear, thanks for the call, Amy, over the past couple of weeks, that when I make comments, and sometimes I tend to be a little snarky, and I've talked about my situation, you know, I can be a little harsh when needed, but I don't want to take any of this out on the teachers, because I think you're right. I think the teachers desperately want to be, you know, my kindergarten teacher for my daughter is doing everything she can. And I think this is tougher on the teachers than at any time in their career. But that's why, you know, I hope Sam Page and Dr. Miles and the other superintendents are looking at the facts, the science, how this is spreading, who's getting it, who's not getting it. It's perfectly safe for kindergarten through third graders, I would say through sixth graders, to be in schools right now with safety measures, with masks, with teachers wearing masks. They know this, okay? If they didn't know this, the Adventure Club and all that kind of stuff would be shut down, or kids would be spreading it throughout there and they'd have to shut it down. I saw this ridiculous headline today. It's just unbelievable what gets in these newspapers. And let me see if I can find this, because it was just, someone was freaking, oh, here it is. This is in the New York Times, which shouldn't surprise you. No, the Washington Post. The most crushing, anxious parenting choice, to return to daycare or not. To return to daycare or not, I've been at daycare for the past 6 months. They've had no cases. None. Daycare's fine. So they quote this parent in here that's freaking out about daycare. You're fine. Okay? Go to daycare. Take your kids back to daycare. They're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. It's ridiculous that that even got any attention in the newspaper at this point. Another Steve here this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Mark, first, thanks for taking calls. There's a lot of us out here that have a tremendous amount of frustration, but because we're just private citizens, we don't ever get to express an opinion or ask a question. So thanks for taking questions and calls. But my question is, and I hope I don't regret saying this, all of the private schools that I'm aware of and the parochial schools are in classes. Why are they being successful, and why isn't anybody talking about that? My theory is the Democrats do want to keep the economy and the society shoved down until after the elections, and I think they're asking the teachers' unions to support that so we don't get Trump elected for another 4 years.
You know, I'm not a big, well, look, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist on stuff like that, but I think it would be naive to think that there's not just a little bit of that that's taking place. I think to put heavy weight on that theory might be misguided at this point, because, you know, whenever it's about Trump and people say, ah, this is about, look, this thing is global, okay? And we just talked to someone from Italy yesterday where they have spiking cases again. So it's not like, I don't think in Italy they're trying to keep Trump from being elected, or in Brazil or in Russia. So, yeah, are some of these things politically motivated? Absolutely. I mean, was President Trump's visit to Kenosha also partly politically motivated? Yes. And so is Joe Biden's today. Absolutely. So there's always going to be a little bit of that that is in play. But gosh, I'd like to think that they're going to try to make the right decisions here. And by the way, I do have a couple of places that you can find this petition for the St. Louis County Children. I'm going to put these up on my Twitter site at Mark Reardon KMOX, and also on the Mark Reardon Show Facebook page. So I'll do that here at the top of the hour, and we'll get a chance. Look, they're looking for 5,000 signatures. There's already about 3,900, so not a whole lot to go on these petitions right now. Let's see here. I think I have time for one more call. Gloria, you're on KMOX.
Yes, I'm a retired school teacher, and I taught 43 years in private, parochial, and city schools. I taught fifth grade, and I taught special ed. Our kids are not getting what they need. These special ed kids are not getting the one-on-one that they need, and this is the crime. This is what's hurting. It's just a sad situation. My daughter's a teacher, and she's going through so, she's in special. It's such a crime. I mean, they should be in school.
Well, you know, I don't think my late brother was in special education. He was eventually mainstreamed in the Parkway School District. But yeah, those are even more difficult challenges, right? Thanks for the call, Gloria. Look, you know, I've seen so many real life examples, and I think it's because I'm 55 years old and I can do this now. I don't think I could have been doing this at 35, 45, where I can sit back and not be as pissed off as a lot of people are right now, because my daughter's only in kindergarten. She's been well educated by Goddard, and I feel like if this was another grade, I'd be pulling my hair out. But in this particular case, it's kindergarten. She's going to get by. We're going to figure out a way to get by. But with special education kids, with older kids, I mean, even with my daughter, she's looking at her Zoom call this morning and she wants to participate. And there's no way, you know, the teacher wants you to raise your hand in class, but on the Zoom calls, they raise their hand or put their hands on their head. And it's tough because everyone is muted. You can't unmute until you're told. And she wanted to say something, and she felt like she was being passed over, and she got very angry. And then we end the Zoom call, and she's like, I don't want to do writing. Writing was supposed to, we're supposed to take a break. Like, it was going to be a 40-minute break. And then writing is at 10 o'clock. Well, I had work to do. I had to take her to Goddard. Goddard's been great about opening up a classroom for some of these kids. And we'll have to do some lessons tonight. I mean, I don't know what else to do, but, and I have a, and this is what I pointed out from the beginning of all this, and I think a lot of you know this. Look, a lot of you work for a living. I barely meet that definition with what I do. I yap on the radio for a few hours, and I sit and I do some show prep. I have a pretty flexible schedule. Many people do not, and it's still tough to do this right now. So I think that, and I think my advice has been also this for all these folks that are making these decisions. You better come up with a better plan for January, because if you get these kids back this semester, especially the younger kids, that would be a big plus. But you're going to lose the whole year if you don't do smarter things and make better decisions and have some courage. The school districts could have a little courage here, because if we're at the 3-4 week mark and there aren't Catholic nuns falling over dead everywhere, I think people are going to have some questions about why they can do it and why the public schools cannot. 2:56, second hour of the show, coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.